Turn in your Bibles to the book of Titus, Titus 3. We're going to be looking at verses 12 to 15. It'll be the last time that we will be turning to Titus for a while together as a congregation. I hope you certainly look back there on your own occasionally. But this is our last sermon in the series taken from Titus called Tending to the Church. Before we read, I want to make one final announcement. That is that I've changed the title of the sermon. It's not what's going to be in the bulletin. Rather, you received a handout in addition to the bulletin, and that's got the correct title, Gospel Workers and Their Gospel Work. You see, when I planned this out and mapped this out way back in August, I thought I knew what I was going to preach on this final closing sermon, and yet when I actually studied the text and wrestled with it, I was led in a very different direction. And so we're going to go with the title that's in the handout, Gospel Workers and Their Gospel Work. Let's hear now the word of our God from Titus 3, verses 12 to 15. When I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I've decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing. And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. All who are with me send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. This is the word of God. Praise be to God. Let's pray. Lord, speak to us through your word. Let my words be your words. Let them convey your message. And if I say anything that is out of line or out of accord with what you have said and what you have intended, let it be immediately forgotten so that you alone are heard this morning, so that we, your people, will be conformed to the call that you have placed upon us, that we might be gospel workers doing gospel work for your glory and for the expansion of your church here on this earth. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. One of my duties at my previous church, at Knox Presbyterian Church, as the associate pastor there, I oversaw the financial aspects of the church. I had responsibilities for the budget, those sorts of things. And so when there would be special gifts given, I would very often meet with the donor to talk about how to process those gifts and how to handle those things. Well, it was common practice at many churches, and someone would die. There would be a funeral at the church. It would be very common that we would collect a memorial fund offering in the memory and in honor of the deceased. Very often these gifts would be of some amount, some significant amount, and we would meet with the family of the loved one who had died and gone to be with the Lord, and we would talk with them about how we might use these gifts to serve the church and rightly honor and memorialize the person who had passed away. I was meeting with one such widow on one occasion, and she expressed to me something that was really quite striking. She said, I would like the memorial fund gift given in honor of my husband to go to missions work. Now that in by itself is not that striking. We had many people who would want the money to go to support missions work. But then she added this line, I'd like it to go to support missions work so that it does gospel work. Now, I didn't say this out loud, but in my head, I said, I think we do a little gospel work here at the local church. I think we accomplish a little something on behalf of the gospel right here in Harrison Township, Michigan. I'm not sure that you needed to add that statement. It's okay to want to support missions, but don't say it because you want it to be gospel supporting. It would have been okay had it gone to the local church. And I think this text here does a great job of illustrating the breadth of gospel work and gospel workers. It shows us many different aspects of gospel work. It is not an exhaustive list. It was not Paul's intent that it be an exhaustive list of all the possible ways that we could serve the gospel. And yet he does, in these few verses, lay for us some really interesting ways in which people do gospel work. And I'd like us to take a time to consider them. And we're going to look at it by the names that as they appear, as the people appear, we're going to consider each of who they are and the gospel work they do. And so the first of those names that appears there in verse 12 is this man, Artemas. Now, first of all, I'll tell you, we know nothing else of this man. This is the only mention of him in the entire New Testament. Nor does church history have any reliable account of who he was or what he did after this. But he's paired here with the other fellow, Tychicus. And Tychicus does appear in several other texts and is referred to in multiple texts as a faithful minister. And the fact that they're put in parallel here, Artemas and Tychicus, and the fact that it's going to be one or the other is going to be sent to Crete to spell Titus for a time, suggests that Artemas must also have been a minister of the gospel. He must, like Tychicus, have been someone who was a pastor, a preacher. And so what we have here, when we consider his work, well, it would appear that he is some sort of assistant pastor. He comes in and fills in as needed. And in fact, we can conclude rather soundly that he must have been the guy that actually did come to Crete and fill in for Titus. Because we've learned in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 10, 11, and 12, that Titus does eventually end up going to Greece. He leaves Crete for a time. And given the directive here, you know, when I send one or the other, then do your best to come to me. Notice Paul doesn't say, just head out now and the church can take care of itself. He says, no, wait. Let's make sure there's a pastor in place. But when that happens, come to me. And we see in 2 Timothy that he does. Paul writes to Timothy that Titus has joined him in Greece. And we also know from that same passage in 2 Timothy that the other gentleman here, Tychicus, he ends up going to Ephesus to give Timothy a break. So presumably he didn't also go to Crete. He could not be in two places at once. So this Artemas, his work, his gospel work, is as an assistant pastor, one who can give a break to the minister, let him get away for a while. And in the notes that I've handed out, I'm going to tell you his work, but then also talk a little bit about where is the Shore Harvest counterpart to that. Because I want us to see that the church, though it has changed in so many ways, the decor, the electricity, the microphones, all of these things that have changed over the centuries, in essence, the church herself has, praise God, not changed that radically. We still have these people playing these roles in our church today, and we need to recognize the value that they bring to the church. We need to thank God for them. Well, I think this one is pretty obvious. Who is the one that fills in when the pastor is away? Well, that would be Pastor Tom, wouldn't it? Pastor Pullman, last week I was with family. I was on our men's hunting trip and retreat, and I went with them, and I was away from here for a time. Now, I wasn't going to a pastor's conference like Titus was. But nevertheless, I had some time to get away, to read, to reflect, to pray, to relax, to take some downtime, and Pastor Tom stepped up and stepped in and brought the Word of God so that it would continue to go forward. For as important as the pastor might be, what's more important is the Word of God, that it continue, that it be faithfully proclaimed. And so we thank God for a man like Tom Pullman, who is willing to step in and play this role in our church in service to all of us and to Christ Jesus our Lord. The next name we see there, and we've already talked a little bit, is Tychicus. His work is as a preacher, as a pastor. He is declared to be such in Ephesians 6 and in Colossians 4. Both of them refer to him as a faithful minister. He's also mentioned in Acts 20 and in 2 Timothy 4 and then again here. So we see him several times in the New Testament, and he's frequently a companion of Paul's. He appears to have been a preacher who often traveled with Paul, often went with Paul. He, like I said, he ends up spelling Timothy in the city of Ephesus. He goes there so that Timothy can get away and get a break for a little while. And so we ask ourselves, well, who is the counterpart of this one? Who is the one that goes to other churches? Not that comes in and fills in our pulpit, but goes to other pulpits and helps them out and provides for them. Well, again, it's Pastor Tom. He's going to go in just a couple of weeks and preach at one of our sister churches so that their pastor can get a break. He's done this any number of times over the last year and a half that I've been here. Little churches in our in this area that maybe cannot afford or don't have or aren't blessed the way we are to have two pastors, he goes and he fills in and gives them a break. So again, we see this idea that it's important that the word of God continue, but it's also important that the pastor can get some time to be away during as needed. And so we see that the gospel workers here, Artemis and Tychicus, their gospel work really is to be sure the word of God continues and goes forward even as other men are given a break and spelled for a time. Then we see this man, Zenas. He is not mentioned anywhere else in the New Testament. He's referred here to as a lawyer, but this particular Greek word used for lawyer here is always everywhere in the New Testament used to speak of those who are experts in the Mosaic law. This is not a civil lawyer or criminal lawyer, but rather a lawyer with regard to God's law, one who is an expert in the things that God declared through Moses. Now, that word doesn't necessarily have to mean that here, but that is how it's used everywhere else. John Calvin, in a humorous way, pointed out that since there's direction given here to be sure that his needs are met, presumably he's poor, which means he's not a civil lawyer, which means he probably is the Mosaic lawyer that's being addressed here. Probably some truth to that. So here he is, he has joined Apollos, and the two of them have brought this letter. Now, it doesn't say that explicitly, but it's hard to imagine why else Apollos would be on Crete and told immediately to be sped on his way, and Zenas with him, to head out and not spend any time there. They're not supposed to linger. They're not the ones sent to give Titus a break. They're not going to take over the gospel ministry for a time, but rather they are the messengers of Paul's letter to Titus. So who is the counterpart of Zenas? Who is the one who plays this role? Well, you know what? It can be any one of us. I specifically want to talk to the youngest among us here today. When your Sunday school teacher says things like, hey, can you run in and go to Miss Lee and get a copy made of this? You're doing this right here. You're running an errand to be sure that God's word can go forward. When any one of us helps out, when we run sound so that the sermon can be heard, we're running it. We're doing something that seems small, but guarantees that God's word goes forward. Zenas gets no other mention in the New Testament, but he carried the letter from Paul to Titus that became part of the word of God. He was faithful in the little thing he had been given. Because he was faithful, you and I are blessed to have this letter today. So when you do and I do the little things around the church, to be sure the heat or air conditioning are on so that people are focused on the sermon and not their discomfort, we work like Zenas to be sure the word of God goes forward. When the little ones do what their teachers ask them, so they take it and get a copy made, or they carry something here, they are doing, like Zenas, the work that's needed so that the word of God can go forward. Each and every one of us can play this role at some point, at some time. We won't make it into the pages of the New Testament. He barely did. But we also don't know how that plays out over the long run. I don't think that Zenas knew. There were a lot of letters we know from the New Testament. There are a lot of other letters that were being sent around to the churches of the New Testament era that weren't maintained or kept by the Holy Spirit, that were not ordained to be part of Scripture. I don't know that Zenas carried this letter knowing it was going to be part of Scripture, knowing that it was going to be kept for all eternity as part of God's word. Just had a letter that his friend Paul wanted sent to Titus, and he said, I'll carry it. But because he did that work faithfully, you and I are blessed 2,000 years later. Don't ever discard the little things you do for your church. Don't ever think less of them than you ought. Even the littlest among us, when we faithfully execute the things we've been asked to do, we don't know how God's going to use that in the weeks and months and years and centuries to come. We read on about Apollos. Apollos is well known in the New Testament. He is mentioned frequently. He is regarded as a very eloquent, very gifted preacher. And in fact, Paul goes so far as to imply in the book of Corinthians that Apollos is a much better preacher than he, Paul, is. That Apollos is regarded as perhaps one of the most gifted teachers. Some scholars think he may have written the book of Hebrews. We don't know that for certain. But there are some who think that he might have written the book of Hebrews. Apollos is an incredibly important man. Phenomenal influence in the early church. Played a huge role in churches on Corinth and other places. Gifted preacher, gifted speaker. One who could bring the word of God in a way that people noticed and they listened. And the report I hear about last Sunday, it sounds again like it's Pastor Tom playing that role. It sounds like he did a great job. But we have these sorts of things. Who blesses you with their preaching? Outside of our normal church, outside, who has God gifted that speaks into your life? Maybe when you're out jogging and you listen to John MacArthur, he's playing Apollos in your life. Maybe you love the books that R.C. Sproul has written. He plays Apollos in your life. Perhaps it's Spurgeon or one of the Puritan writers. You know, James Boyce. There's any number of names that we could list. Men whom God has gifted, who really aren't part of our church, but whom God uses to bless us and to bless our church. And they continue to play this role of Apollos. Gospel workers doing gospel work for the sake of God's glory. Of course, he's not named here, but we must recognize that Titus is present in these verses. They're directed to him. You know, when I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis. Next verse, 13, do your best. Verse 14, let our people. And then in verse 15, all who are with me send greetings to you. So Titus is clearly a part of this. And Titus, we know his role. We've discussed it before. He's a pastor. He's a local pastor. He's working in the churches on the island of Crete to bring God's word faithfully, to correct and admonish where that is necessary, to love and to build up and to edify when that's called for, to teach sound doctrine. How many times is that mentioned in this short letter? And to teach the people to do good works for the sake of the gospel. That's mentioned over and over and over again. He is the local pastor. And in many ways, it's why these are called pastoral letters, because they are addressed to the ministers, to the pastors. And clearly, Shore Harvest has that counterpart. We have had pastors. God has graced us with men who are faithful to his word, so that through our history, we have had one brother after another who has stood in the pulpit and said, "Thus saith the Lord," and then expounded for us its meaning and its application to our lives, so that God continues to bless his church with men like Titus, who play that role even today. Of course, Paul is a part of this text, is he not? He's clearly there. He refers to himself in the first person pronoun, I, when I send them. And what is his gospel work? Well, he's an apostle. He is the mouthpiece, the spokesman of God. He speaks on behalf of Almighty God. He declares the word of God, and he brings it to God's people. He did many other things. He was a missionary. He was a preacher. He was an elder. But most of all, first and foremost, he was an apostle. Now, we got to be careful there. What is the counterpart of that in our church today? Certainly there are churches who still use that word apostle. And when we think about one who is a spokesperson, there is some room for understanding the word apostle in that regard. But we got to be a little careful, for these apostles are a different category. They are, maybe we should use a capital A with regard to this apostle. set apart in a different sense than one who brings the Word of God today. For the minister today, the faithful minister, the faithful lowercase a apostle today, is going to rest upon the foundation which these apostles built. So I'm going to suggest that the sure harvest counterpart today is still Paul. That to this day he continues to play the role he played then. He has written a portion of the New Testament that we still build on, to which we still reference, which we still refer, and from which we draw the truth of God for our congregation. Now he's joined by all the other writers. He's not the only one playing this role in our church today. But we must be certain that no one else ever usurps the role of the apostles and prophets. For in the book of Ephesians, we are told that the foundation of the church is the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus being the cornerstone. We must always be built on the Word of God, not on the ideas, as good as they may sound, of a pastor or an author, an itinerant preacher. There may be some neat-sounding strategies, but if they conflict with the Word of God, if they violate this apostle, we must never follow them. We must always let Paul and his fellow apostles and the prophets play the role in our church that they played in that church. Finally, at the bottom of your note page, you'll notice that the last one is blank. Do you see the other gospel workers present in this passage? Let's consider it again. Let me read the whole thing from top to bottom. When I send Artemas and Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I've decided to spend the winter there. Do your best, that's your singular, talking to Titus, do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing. Now notice the change to the plural, and let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. All who are with me send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with y'all. We see the other gospel workers in these paragraphs. It is the church members. It is those who attend those churches in those cities all over the island of Crete. The church members are the other gospel workers, and they're called upon to do the work of the gospel and to support the work of the gospel and to further the work of the gospel. In fact, we've seen this as a theme throughout the book of Titus. We have been told repeatedly that husbands and wives are to behave a particular way in the home so that the gospel would not be reviled. That young men and young women are to behave a particular way in the church so that the Word of God, the Scriptures, would not be mocked. That workers are to behave a certain way in the workplace and obey their employers so that the gospel will go forward. We are to respond in Titus chapter 2, we are to respond to grace in a particular way so that this grace will become known to all. For the sake of the gospel, we are to do certain works. And as Paul closes this letter, he reiterates the importance of this. He says that let our people learn to devote themselves. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Be completely given over to good works so that they may help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. So, Pastor, what are those good works that we should be devoted to? Well, I'm not going to pretend that this is an exhaustive list here, but let's just rest on this context. What is here that he's talking about as good works? Well, he says this in response to the previous verse. Paul is writing in verse 13, do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos. There's got to be a lawyer joke in there somewhere, right? Hurry the lawyer out of town. Speed him on his way. Get him out of there. I don't know what it is, but there's got to be a lawyer joke in there. He says, speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing. Now notice what happens. As Paul is writing that, or perhaps at this stage in life, probably dictating it to somebody else. We know that his eyesight gave him some trouble at the end. Notice what he says. Oh, yeah, that reminds me. And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need. Notice the tie between verses 13 and 14, this idea of need, that these ministers of the gospel, Zenas and Apollos, they might have needs. And by the way, the people should be taking care of those. See to it that they devote themselves to meeting those sorts of urgent needs. What is the gospel work that we're called to here? It's to the support of the ministry. It's the financial provision for those who are in ministry. It is meeting their needs, giving to them what is necessary for them to do their work. You know, I've heard it said, and I think it's well said, that preachers ought not preach to get paid. Rather, they ought to get paid to free them up so that they can preach. Think about that. If we're going to wait to see how this minister, what he has to say, whether we like it or not, whether it's, you know, whether I really, boy, that, does that really encourage me and speak to me? Then I'll think about giving. If we're going to pass the plate after the sermon, you know, oh, don't love that sermon so much. Yeah, I'm not giving this week. That creates a real problem. He just called out my sin. I felt like he was looking at right at me. I don't think he's got any place to do with that. I'm not giving this Sunday. But rather what we see here is a model that says make sure that these men of God, that these ministers are taken care of, that they are provided for, that there be a provision that, that Titus can get to this pastor's conference happening in Nicopolis. Be sure that, Apollos and Zenas, they've brought you the word of God. Now make sure that they can get on their way and they have everything they need. You know, on Tuesday, we're going to hear a lot of people clamoring, a lot of organizations clamoring for whatever money you have happened to have left over. After Black Friday and Small Business Saturday and Cyber Monday, if there's anything left, let's make sure we give it away on Tuesday. As I read this text and as I see this here, I'm reminded of that woman who wanted to give to missions work to be sure that it supported the gospel. And I want to say to all of us, isn't that what we ought to be doing here at Shore Harvest? Shouldn't that be what our church is about, the support of the gospel? Do we not have men like Pastor Tom who are fulfilling the role of the assistant pastor and doing it faithfully? Do we not want to support them the way these men were to be supported? Do we not have those who are doing the little things like Zenas did, carrying this here, our youngsters carrying, doing that, running this errand, doing this, our deacons filling in here and working on that, and musicians and singers and all these people filling in these different roles? Do we not want to support that work? Do we not want to give to that? Is that not the call that's here? Be sure that your people devote themselves to good works. What good work? That they might meet urgent needs. Then Paul says something with a double negative, not the way we usually talk. Let me straighten it out for us here. He says, so they may not be unfruitful. Let me get the double negative out of there and just be a little more direct. So that you will be fruitful. In order to be fruitful, do this. Give financially. You know, it's very commonplace for missionaries to say, you know, if you support my work, then you get to count that. You know, you're helping it, the word go forward in these jungles and these, and that's true. It's not that they make that up just so you feel better about giving. It's scriptural. That the financial giving does produce fruit. And the fruit that is born by this church, we all get to rejoice in it. Because we all get to be part of that work. The text is filled with gospel workers and their gospel work. And as you consider the call on your life, as we consider collectively ourselves as the church, I hope each of us looks at this text and goes, there I am. That's my role. That's what I do in this church. Most of us will never be Apollos. Most of us will never even be Artemis or Tychicus. Maybe we can be Zenas and carry some messages. For sure, we can be the people of the Church of Crete, supporting and encouraging, meeting needs, giving generously, providing for gospel work to go forward. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these closing words. As Paul sought to encourage that church back then, let us be encouraged by his message today. Let us be strengthened and realize that we have a calling, that though our role might seem small in our own eyes, we have no idea how you're going to use it when it is faithfully executed. Give each of us the assurance that what we do for you is of eternal value, of lasting consequence, and is really the only thing that we do that will have any significance. Thank you for this book. Thank you for all that was written by Paul to the young pastor Titus. Thank you for all the encouragement that we have received from it. And as we tend to your church here, let us be a people who do so in accord with your word. Let us be faithful to the instructions that were given here, that our church might reflect, as is necessary with the changes that are part of being in the 21st century, but let us nevertheless reflect the truths and the essential aspects of the church that was described here, that we would be used by you because we have been faithful to your word.